let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John. Welcome back, Father John Wargle.
Great to be here on this beautiful spring morning.
I know, it's gorgeous outside, and yesterday was so pretty, too. It's really beautiful when everything starts to change over from winter into real spring.
Right.
Which
my
happens.
Wildflowers are starting to come up.
There you go.
Good,
Yes, I have a nice perennial garden for the pollinators to come. And so it's really, it's fun to see all
busy
that stuff.
Busy bees, just like you are, right? Just like we are.
Oh, yes, the busy bee. That's it. That's me. Okay, so we're going to talk about, we're going to start to talk about Abram.
That's right, Abraham.
Yeah,
right.
So what's happening in this? There's a lot going on here, a lot about the line of Shem. And
That's right.
Yes. So
that's
why don't you start talking about that?
Yeah. Well, we'll start off here with actually the genealogies, right? In chapter 11 of Shem's line, which we talked about that with Noah's three sons and how Shem, blessed be God, Right. So he's blessed with the blessings of God and carries the blessings of creation with him.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And the descendant, the seed motif is very, very important, right? The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that God chooses a family. Terach is his name. His name Yireach, it's kind of like a form of the word moon, okay?
Okay, yeah, right.
Which, he came from Haran originally, which is in northern Syria, okay? He was an Aramean, which means he was probably a nomadic man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those were nomadic men that they took their flocks out and what have you, right?
Well, they just went wherever they could go to find grass for their
animals,
seasonal changes, things like that. And they just took their whole family with them, right?
Yeah. And we find that he's in Ur, okay? And so we have to talk a little bit about ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
Meso means in the midst, potama, it's the Greek word for rivers, Euphrates and the Tigris.
Oh, right.
A hippopotamus is a river horse. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Little tidbits of information.
Yeah, it's always good here. Deep dive into Scripture.
Right. So here's a semi-nomadic person of the Arameans in Ur. What in the world is he doing in Ur? Okay. Well, let's talk about ancient Mesopotamia. I had a wonderful opportunity to get to know a scholar of the University of Pennsylvania when I was studying in grad school. His name was Samuel Noah Kramer. And he wrote a very famous book, History Begins at Sumer.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay. Now, we can debate whether it begins in Sumer or in Egypt. Both are very, very, very ancient in civilization that sort of just sprouted up in what we call the fourth millennia BC. Okay, from 4,000 to 3,000.
Yeah.
A lot of things were happening. And scripture mentions a city called Erech, which is Uruk. Okay. And, fascinating things were going on with that city for 1,000 years. It's a 1,000-year-old city.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And even back then. So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I had always heard that Petra in Jordan was sort of the birthplace or cradle of humanity.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between
Petra than and Sumer, because at Sumer, it seems like, I mean, what you're saying is that historians, and I'll say this was really the first civilization. Right. Is it just that civilization has a certain connotation to it, that there were certain things, like Sumer was a much more advanced society than Petra. Petra was just a place where,
you know, relatively new on the scene. And quite frankly, Daniel, I don't know where you got that information from. But what Petra is famous for is, of course, how out of rock they hewn this city, and that gives it a sense of ancientness and mystery. I believe it was even in the famous movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, right? It ends at Petra.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. And that's where he found the old crusader who is guarding the Holy Grail.
Right.
That conjures up ancient imagery, but Sumer was ancient, okay?
So it's just older than Petra, really.
Oh, yeah.
So my mistake on the history.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, you know, all this is so complicated. But, you know, they created like the first language, okay? Now, in Egypt, they had pictograms, you know, Well, that makes sense, okay? If you're going to try to write into parchment or in whatever writing media that you use, you know, you start with pictures. And so their ancient Sumer started with pictograms too, but then they made it a quicker process by making wedges, okay? Mm-hmm. And those in the Greek, or in the Latin, that's cuneus, which is wedges.
Okay.
And you have to memorize, Danny. I had to do this for two whole years. I had to study cuneiform to get my degree.
That's the word I was just thinking of.
Yeah.
That cuneiform word that I had to look up from about 10, 12 posts ago.
Right. And it's a syllabic language, so they'd have different shapes and arrangements of these cuneiform symbols. And so, I had to memorize like 500 or 600 of them, and that's when,
wow. Right?
But anyways, I got through it, thank God. But, you know, so we call it ancient civilization because they really had the first literature.
Okay.
They invented irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
And they invented sailboats.
Yeah.
They invented municipal buildings, and of course, the great ziggurats that we've talked about before.
Those are the four-sided stepped buildings that go up kind of like the Tower of Babel.
The whole idea of the Tower of Babel, you know, grows out of this millennia. There were city-states had warfare, and the first chariots were carts that were drawn by oxen. Can you imagine going into battle with that sort of thing?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so we can go on and on and on of the things that they invented.
Yeah. But that's what makes a civilization.
Where people can live together, okay, in close proximity, you know, the whole idea of commerce and what have you. Okay, let's make a city and a tower. Okay, that's Babel. Okay, mm-hmm. In the next millennia, Ur, from 2000 to 3000 BC, was the major city.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting things. And actually, the University of Pennsylvania, they've got a lot of that stuff. And I think Kramer brought it there. I mean, he was like the big Sumerologist.
Wow.
So I had stories about that, you know, as well. I had the opportunity to drive him back and forth from school. So, you know, I was able, you know, I'm in this car with this great Sumerologist, right?
Yeah. But ask him all kinds of questions.
Because he was the first part of the 20th century, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so one of the famous things is when the king died, he didn't want to go into the afterlife by himself. And so they had this big burial mound, and they have all his servants who are buried alive around him. That sort of thing.
Sounds like a bad story.
Yeah, right. But it's all very fascinating, right? And then in the next millennium, and when Ur fell to pieces, that's when the Arameans came in.
Okay.
Where there was that vacuum of power.
Mm.
And that explains how Abraham and his family were there, right? Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Then in the next millennium, and when Ur fell to pieces, that's when the Arameans came in.
Okay.
Where there was that vacuum of power.
Mm.
And that explains how Abraham and his family were there, right? Mm-hmm. Then after that, Babylon became, which is an Akkadian city, different from Sumerian, but picks up on all that background, all that cultural background. And it became so massive that in the Bible, Babylon became the name for the whole thing.
Yeah,
in historical
area.
So when you talk about the Tower of Babel, Babel didn't really exist way back in the day, but according to the audience that people were listening, it's an anachronism. Everybody understood that that whole ancient culture was subsumed in the name of Babel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Abraham and Terah, his father, is called out of this ancient metropolis where there's, you know, all this history, all this literature, all these inventions and everything, and is going to go to Canaan, but he never really makes it to Canaan.
Yeah.
You know, he gets it back to his own hometown, which is Haran, okay?
Yeah.
Now, was he, where was he religiously? We don't know. I did mention that Terach comes from the Hebrew word Yareach, which is the moon. Maybe he worshiped the moon god. We don't know.
Yeah.
We know that in Abraham's family, for a number of generations, there were idols, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What was Abraham? There's two things, okay? Number one, he was monotheistic, maybe not in the sense that, in the full-blown sense of Mosaic revelation, because everything grows organically in the scripture, right? You can't expect Abraham to know everything that Moses knew.
Right? Sure, yeah, right.
Because of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you do know is that there has always been in the ancient Near East those who were worshipers of El, okay, mm-hmm. which is the transcendent God. And therefore, they drew their inspiration from transcendence as opposed to immanence with all the idols and fertility rites and all that stuff that we talked about Babel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. But why is it that Abram, son of this Terach, why would he have been monotheistic and one of the people who worshiped? Like, how did he come to be in that situation? What about his family moved him in that direction? It just doesn't make sense.
You know, who knows? I mean, you can ask the same question to me. You know, I started out as a Baptist. I ended up a Catholic, right?
Yeah, true,
A long, long journey. We can. Yeah. There's another one, Melchizedek. We're going to meet him down the road. Okay.
Yeah.
He was the priest of the Most High God. Okay. Elohim, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there were those who God drew, okay?
Yeah,
that's all we can say.
Okay.
Did they believe that there are other gods? They probably did, okay? Mm-hmm. But they knew that El was the supreme God, and the minor gods we would consider to be spiritual beings. We might call them angels or maybe demons or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right, sure, yeah.
So he was monotheistic in that sense.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
But another thing is that what really sets him apart, as we shall see next week when we get into Abraham, that he had encounters.
Ah, oh, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So he not only worshiped a transcendent God, but he also worshiped a God that encountered him.
Sure, yeah.
And so with every encounter, there's a promise.
Yeah, right. So God's creating a relationship with him.
Exactly.
It's almost like God knows this is the guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna move through him to make my presence known in the world.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, the pagan gods didn't have relationships with people. They didn't really care much about them at all, right? They're this to serve. Remember, like we talked with Noah, how the gods swarmed about the altar with the Babylonian Noah,
mm-hmm.
Because they were starved, because the flood wiped everybody out, so they couldn't serve the gods their sacrifices.
Okay, right.
That subservient thing, right? But here we see that God is interested in relating with us. And so that's what happens with Abraham. And that's right. That's the seedbed of faith. Mm-hmm. Okay, when God encounters us, there's always promise. And when there's promise, there's always faith. Because mm-hmm. you believe in this promise, okay.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Hmm.
Wow, okay. So we can see that God has his eye on Abraham for the future mm-hmm. and is going to work through him. I have another question about Mesopotamia.
Okay.
So you wrote in the post on ancienthopes.org that the Mesopotamian culture, all that civilization in that area was kind of unknown until then. So now it's something completely new. They're really churning, they're creating new things. But you said that the Hebrew people were not impressed. So one, why is that? And what did they... How did they show that?
You know, that's a good question, okay? God chose these Arameans, these people from the wilderness, okay? And I think it's a lot like it is today. When you are in the city with all the noise, mm-hmm. with all the things that surround you and fill your senses, you really don't have a sense of solitude and quietness.
True. Yeah. Right? We did talk about this before. I forgot.
Yeah.
You're right. So, right. So it's just same as me. I mean, I do not like going into cities because it's so loud and I want to be out on a mountain stream, you know, a mountain lake right. somewhere. But my daughter loves, well, I got multiple daughters
who
love the cities. They love being in the action and all that. So it's just depends on what kind of a person you are. And since the Hebrew people were more of a wilderness people, moving around, nomads or whatever.
No, you're right. There's a bright side and dark side to everything. Okay, so you have the dark side of the city, which is Babylon, you know, what have you, where there's oppression. Where the people get together, there's just a lot of oppression, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, when you compare it to God's city, which is Jerusalem, that's the bright side of it.
So
heaven's going to be a city. So we're not anti city here in the Bible. It's just that there's a bright side and a dark side to it.
Yeah.
Okay. In a city, you can't even see the stars. Okay. You probably could in ancient Mesopotamia because they didn't have all these artificial lights, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, can you imagine taking care of your sheep and staring up in the heavens at night, the starry sky? Mm-hmm. I mean, it gives you a real deep sense of transcendence. Okay.
Yeah.
And silence, Danny. Mm-hmm. Okay. Silence. It's so
a lot
precious.
Of time to spend with your own thoughts and your and relationship with God, if you know of a God.
That's right. Now, Cardinal Seurat wrote a wonderful book on silence, and he said something very profound there. He says silence is a language of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when God communicates to us, it's always through silence. It's not when you're watching the television set,
right? Of course,
looking at media, right? So a lot of that stuff we do to block God out because mm-hmm. we don't want to face ourselves or God or whatever, you know. So that's the long answer to your question, I mm-hmm. think, that God calls and he calls the semi-nomadic people, right?
Yeah.
Who know about silence, who would look at this culture, this ancient culture, and see the chaos that swarms around it and say, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, right. There's something better than this. You know, I mean, maybe not even I got to get out. We got to get out of this place, right?
Yeah, right.
So, but just to understand that there's something better.
Right.
That they can move toward. Yeah.
And going to Cana would really like being, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, kind of like going to Appalachia or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to a no place mm-hmm. at all. Yeah. I mean, we'll see that there are cities there and fortified cities and stuff, but it for the most part it's very rural situation.
Mm-hmm.
So God's calling to them to that, which is they'll be called the land flowing with milk and honey, right?
Right.
It's calling us back to the land motif, which is the garden motif, which is taking us back to lost origins, and that's what's so important about that, the promise of taking him to going to Canaan.
Yeah.
Again, why Terach never made it, we don't know. But then God moves in Abraham to get them in this land.
Hmm. Good. Okay. And that story is coming up soon.
Yeah. Next week.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else to share?
Well, I don't know. That's pretty much it.
Good. That's a great story. Okay, good. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Okay.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.